It's certainly my pleasure, always it seems like, to get to come to the church at Nashville. I greatly enjoy coming to the church at Wilson Creek. I've been coming there for, I believe they said 13 years maybe, and we've enjoyed going there, and a few of those times I've got to come back by Nashville and to see you good brothers and sisters, and it's certainly been my great pleasure. Whenever I have an opportunity to go to the Bethel Church, I'm like a bronking bull trying to get out of a stall. I'm ready to go. So just don't ever invite me if you don't want me to come, because I try to come every time I possibly can. And certainly we are thankful for your presence here tonight, and I trust the Lord would bless us for a little while to look into his word. I believe I'll use for a text tonight the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah and the 14th verse. And judgment is turned backward, is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Speak to you about the subject I will call truth has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the street. We're living in a time and day that whenever it's we know as ministers of the gospel and as members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know and I think you know how important it is that we speak the truth and that we speak from God's word. We believe God's word to be so important, and in fact, if we look at some of the things that the psalmist said, and while we look at what the Lord Jesus said, he said, "You do err not knowing the scriptures." Today, it's so important that we preach and proclaim the word of God. But according to Isaiah, he says that truth, that judgment has turned backwards, and truth has fallen in the street. We realize that he is talking to the children of Israel. We realize that we have these messages that God had given these Isaiah. But also the Apostle Paul tells us that now all these things happened unto them for our examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He has written, we have these messages that are given here throughout God's word and given here to the children of Israel, who in this 59th chapter, they had been separated from the love and the fellowship, or at least the fellowship and the blessings of the God of heaven. And he had pleaded with them, much like our nation that we live in today, much like we see that the truth, the word of God, has fallen in the street. It is a time and place where that there's no testimony given for the word of God. The scriptures teach us in many places, it said, the words of the Lord are pure words. Just to be able tonight to believe that this Bible that I have here and the word of God that we have is actually the word of God, that he has spoken it to us. To be able to believe that is a great blessing, because a great portion of the country in which we live, they do not believe that. A great portion of the people believe that some part of this Bible is true and that some of it is not. But to believe that this is truly the word of God. The psalmist throughout, he says that heaven and earth shall pass away, or the Lord said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I believe that God's word, that we have it tonight, and I don't believe that it will pass away, and I believe it's my duty and my responsibility to try to proclaim God's word if he's called me to be a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever." The words of the Lord are to be preserved forever, for every generation. Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So Job believed that this was the word of God, and he listened to the word of God. The psalmist again said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Yet you can go to society today and you can find all kinds of opinions about the word of God. And generally speaking, they're not very favorable. But the psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." He also said, "For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Man, it would be hard to be out in this old world that we're all living in if I didn't have the word of God that teaches me how I should act and right from wrong and so forth. The word of God teaches us all those things. The psalmist said, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." We believe that. We believe that that's what God's word has told us. It said, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." What a great blessing it is to know that God's word is settled forever. You know, it was, I believe, in about the 1500s that the printing press came in, and the first book that was printed was God's word, the Bible. And it's been the best-selling book that's ever been since that time. And most of the time, it has outsold the rest of the books all combined. Not every year, but most years since 1500, for almost 500 or 500 years, it has sold all the other books combined. So we have the word of God, and what great joy and blessing that we have in knowing that it is the word of God and that we can able to receive that. You know, Amos said one time that there would be a time coming that there would be a famine of the word of the Lord. He said there'd be a famine in the land. It will not be a famine of food. It'll not be a famine of water, but hearing, a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. I believe that we're living in that day and age. So it makes it so much more important that God's people continue to stand up on God's word, to stand up on the things that he has and that he has taught us. If you listen to all the TV shows and the announcers and all the press that's going on, they have very little to do with God's word. In fact, they turn it around, and he told us here, he said that, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity or fairness cannot enter." So we believe that it is certainly a time that we have seen that prophecy come through that Isaiah said that truth has fallen in the street. We have seen so much things that's gone on in the last month or so with all the hurricane problems over New Orleans and over Texas of the last one, Rita. We have seen so many people that have been affected by it. We've seen the ungracious attitudes. We've seen those who have not been thankful for what was provided for them and is being provided for them. And we realize that God's word teaches us to be gracious and to be humble and to be thankful for the things that we do have. We do not need anyone to teach us that. God's word has taught us that and tells us that and has from now on. So the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord," or, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." I'm not ashamed of the testimony, and I trust you're not either, of our Lord. It's the very word of God that we stand upon it. It's a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. It's the only way that we'll ever make it through this whole world. We know something about afflictions and sorrows. We know some of the things that happened to us. But we're instructed in God's word that it would happen to us. When he go through the water, they will not overflow us. The fire will not kindle up on us. We have God's words of promise that has been given to us, and we rejoice greatly in that. But the world that is not used to that, they are into a very social gospel. And if you want to raise money for something, if you want to go out for something, they will give more money than you can ever count. The Red Cross has received $1 billion in connection with this. People really have a mind to give and to be able to help those that are less fortunate. But to be able to understand and know God's word, he said that one day that they would not listen to God's word, but they'd be turned unto fables. We're living in a day and age when fables take the rule, and that's what he said. Judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. There's no justice. You can't make it work when you're not using God's word. And for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. There's no fairness at all when it happens. And he begins to explain some of those things. You know, there was a man in our town a few days ago. We have thousands of evacuees there from the first hurricane that hit New Orleans. And there was a preacher, one of the churches up the street from us, not very far. And I don't think it was in good taste, maybe, to do that. But he got out on his signboard and he put, Big Easy is a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, maybe it wasn't in good taste. But you know, I have an idea that the man was right in what he said, if he'd have kept it in his pulpit. But I've never seen anybody that has been any more, every church in town, every pastor of those other churches went after him. This is not a judgment. It's not a judgment up on anybody. We can't start calling, how do you think one of these evacuees from New Orleans would feel? They go by there and they see that on your sign. Listen, brothers, that man probably was telling the truth, that it's probably a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. And while I believe God comes to times like this, I believe he removes the hedge. I think he tries to get our attention. He used New Orleans last time. He's used New York. I'm not saying God brings them back, but if he removes his hedge and lets us, sometimes we need to open our eyes and look. You know, we have the Word of God tells us that a homosexual lifestyle is wrong and it's absolutely an abomination unto the Lord, but the society in which we live says it's an alternate lifestyle and you can live that way. You can choose to just have a live together without the marriage ceremony, that you can have a civil union, that you can have all these things. But God's Word says different. It talks about marriage and between a man and between a woman. And yet we stand and say we're not going to pay any attention to that. The Word of God says that it's an abomination, and the men of God and the women of God should be able to stand on God's Word. But if you stand on God's Word, the man was so ridiculed that he had to go out and take down his sign. He left it up for a couple of days, but they wrote page after page letters to the editors of what a bad person this man was, and all he was doing was, I think, standing up on what God's Word has taught us. You know, they were going to have a convention down in New Orleans. I think most of you know that. They were going to have a convention the very next weekend. About 125,000 lesbians and homosexuals would have their convention in New Orleans the very next week. They had one woman that was said that her church had been praying, said, we had been fasting. We'd been fasting for 21 days. That the Lord would do something that would turn New Orleans around. Well, they were already fasting and praying long before this hurricane ever came up, and so forth. It came, and you have to stop and say, my, and the hurricane comes in. I'm not up here telling y'all that the Lord is down and he's destroyed New Orleans because they're such bad people. We're all fall short and we're all not following the word of the Lord. We need as a nation to stand up on it. You say, I can't do anything about what they can do, they do in New York. No, I can't, but I have four little grandkids and going to have five, Lord willing, next Friday. And it's all I can do to teach those children, to be able for them to understand. They plan on going to college. They're going to learn all these things, but I want them to know that when they go, that the things that they may learn there is not necessarily the truth. This is God's Word, and we're dependent upon it. We look to it for everything. He says, and judgment is turned away backward, and judgment standeth afar off, and truth is fallen in the street. We're living in a time when truth is fallen in the street. Did you hear what Isaiah, he told him about this? He referred 32 times in there. He talked about their sins in that 59th chapter. You know, I'm separated from God in lots of ways. He's so much higher than I am, as the heavens are above the earth. His thoughts are not my thoughts, and we all know that God is so much greater than we are. But they were not separated because of the greatness of God. He said they were separated. He told them exactly why they were separated. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God God can do as he pleases. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So these people had to be reminded that the reason they were separated from God was because of their sins had separated them. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongues have muttered perverseness. You know, we living in a day and age when our very hands, and it says your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Some of the things that we have going on in this world that happens over the computers that men and women are involved in, our hands and our fingers, we just are putting God aside. He said, your hands and your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. There's not any of those newscasters that are out there calling for justice and pleading for truth. They want to know who failed. Where does the blame lie? Where is the problem? We're separated and we're divided as a country. We're divided because people are continually looking for fault amongst others and looking for ways to get someone in trouble. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. I see this as a direct message to the nation of the United States of America tonight, not only to these children of Israel, but the United States of America, as we have turned from God, we have turned from his word. And I'm thankful that that all of us certainly plead and try to follow the word of the Lord. He said none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. So whenever someone puts up the message, yes, that it might be a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah, or that homosexuality is wrong, that drunkenness is wrong, that lying and cheating and stealing and adultery and fornication and covetousness and all the other things, that they are wrong, that person is taken apart by the media, because we're just being too hard. But God's word tells us those things, that they're wrong. And we have to come to the point in our life that whenever we know something's wrong, we have all committed sins when we knew better, when we knew that we shouldn't have done it. We ask the Lord to forgive us for it because that we know and we knew that it was wrong. But when a person is taught that it's not wrong to live like this, it's not wrong that you're not married, it's not wrong that you're going to be engaged with someone like this, then if they do not think it's wrong, and it's hard for us to believe that there's people that do not think it's wrong, but they have been taught that it's not wrong because we've gotten away from God's word, and they're not taught that it's wrong to live like that. So therefore, they live that way. If you don't believe it's wrong, then you never go to the Lord and confess your sins, and they're not forgiven. But if you know that it's wrong and you go to the Lord, you confess your sins and turn from your sins and repent, we know that he is faithful to forgive us. He said, they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. So we have all kind of things being hatched. Their web shall not become garments. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. The Lord, 23 times here, he's brought charges against these people. And you imagine, and I believe that this is very relevant and pertinent to our nation tonight. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. We're living in a day whenever people really roll out to try to give and to donate and to give clothes and all the things that they do. But that is not acceptable. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity and acts of violence in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. This country in which we live does not know any peace. They do not know any quietness, any calmness of the Lord. Everyone is at everybody's throats. And let me tell you, it not only gets into our nation, it gets into our homes, it gets into our churches, where everyone wants to be able to be right, and we become divided because we used to didn't know so much. My mother and daddy, and so many of your mother and daddies, lived through the Great Depression, and I'll tell you, they were the happiest people you ever know anything about, because they didn't know all the things that was going on. I said, sometimes I'm just gonna watch a weather channel. At least I could watch a weather channel maybe, and it wouldn't be too bad. But people were happy because sometimes we know so much that it causes us to be unsettled and unrest. It said, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We think we're the smartest people that ever was on the face of the earth, and yet we have gotten away from God's word. We have left it, and we have fables. We have preachers that are preaching fables. We have preachers who will not stand up. You know, I noticed in our religious section the other day, they had a big picture here. They said, breaking new ground. I doubt the guy who wrote that really knew anything about breaking new ground, but he showed this picture of one of the local organizations there in Tyler that wanting to be so inclusive, it's PATH, it's P-A-T-H, that means people attempting to help. And in fact, we have, our church in the past had had donated some things to PATH, and we had sent people to PATH. But PATH wants to be so inclusive of everyone that they now say we're breaking new ground, and they show that they have called on a Muslim to be able to lead them for their opening prayer. Now, according to my understanding of Muslim, Brother Ronald and I have gone over there, and we've been in those mosques, and we've been a lot of places. And let me tell you, I have no confidence, and I'm not going to be a part of an organization or a company that we're going to have someone praying to Muhammad and someone praying to some other way. I believe we ought to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. I reminded the time I was used to announce a football game, and I was announcing a football game or getting ready to, and we had getting ready to have the prayer, and they had sent the local preacher up to the press box, and he was a regular, you know, franchise preacher, what I call it, has a regular franchise. And just as he was going to offer prayer, I just kind of moved over from the microphone to let him offer the prayer, and he whispered in my ear and said, "Do I offer it in the name of Jesus Christ?" And I said, "If you don't offer it in his name, I don't know who you're going to offer it in." I'll tell you, but we want to be so inclusive. When I offer prayer, I offer it in the name of the Jesus Christ. That's the only way I can get through, is in the name of my Lord and Savior. And whenever you call on a Muslim, we're going to be so inclusive. We have such a social gospel, that's all it is. We have so many of these churches that are so involved in all the things that are going on. Let me tell you, I think sometimes we ought to be more involved than what we are. I'm not saying that we shouldn't help people. But in order, you know, I've had members before that's tried to get me, and I know some good brethren that have done this. I'm not making a blanket statement. They can do it if they want to. But I have no interest in going down to the prayer breakfast every Thursday morning that some of our members had tried to encourage me to do so I could be a part of the clergy in town. Well, I'll tell you, they got so many things. This same picture that had this Muslim up here offering prayer had four franchise preachers standing around him, and they were all smiling and just thinking it was so wonderful. And one of them's wife, when she heard it was going to do, one of them's wife said, The paper said this, that I thought we were Christian, and they didn't let her speak anymore. And so I'm saying we have such a social gospel that we live in the world today. Even the gospel in the churches that should be standing for the Word of God, that would stand and say, no, that God's Word says it's never going to be right for fornication and adultery and for homosexuality and those things to be acceptable. I'm not saying those people should be banished. I mean, it gets in all of us as families and our loved ones. We're all get involved in that. No, we need to try to help. We need to try to be there, but we don't ever give up the ground that it's not right. We never give up that ground because God's Word says it's not right. And so we know that, but we do not kick those people out, and we try to help them, we try to love them, we try to encourage them to do better and to change their way and to repent from that. That should be our goal and our mission. We're not out to try to kill them off, but to try to help the people. And so, but we do not back up, we do not give ground. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. This nation is just muddling along, walking in darkness. It said, we grope for the wall like the blind. I'll tell you, this nation is groping for the wall. They can't find anything to hold to. They're wheeling from one side to the other like a blind person, groping for the wall, trying to hold on, because we've left the Word of God and we have nothing else but to hold on to but the Word of God. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We're in desolate places as dead men. Our nation is walking like that and groping like that because we have left the Word of God, and even the clergy in many instances won't stand up for what God's Word says. And so I'm not here trying to dole out punishment. I'm trying to dole out the fact that it's wrong and we know it's wrong. Each one of us and each church can determine how they want to deal with that within themselves. But we know it's wrong, and we'll never change and say it's true. We roar like bears and mourn soar like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. You see, they begin to reply unto God, and they admitted their great sin, their great iniquities. It says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward. There's no judgment, there's no fairness, there's no equity, because truth, it says, is fallen in the street. It makes no difference the fact where Brother Ronald stands and proclaims and preaches the truth. It makes a difference to you and the people who come here, but other people do not care. My wife, we had some new people moved in pretty close to us the other day, and the first thing, my wife wanted to invite them to church. And she did invite them to church. And before, just as she finished, he said, well, we're in, and he knew nothing about us really, but he said, well, we're really in to a place where they have a lot of programs for our children and so forth. Well, let me tell you, we have the greatest thing for children that's ever been. The greatest thing you have for these children here is that you have the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have God's word, and you stand up on it. You'll never be able to teach them anything as important as teaching them God's word. They have to have it when they go to school, when they have to have it when they go to college, whenever they get married, whenever they have afflictions, whenever they have troubles, whenever they have all the things that happen to them in this life, they have to have the word of God. You know, we have, and as some of you know, that we've had a nursing home. We had the evacuees out of the coastal area. We live about 200 miles inland, and we had a lot of evacuees in our town. We first, of course, had the one from New Orleans, And we sent them on back pretty soon, but no, I'm teasing you. But then we had the ones from down on our coast of Texas that came in, and I had a lady call me. Her daddy was Elder Woodrow Wilson, whose funeral I conducted last year, and one of my closest friends. And Nita called me and said that we have no place to go with our nursing home. All nursing homes are full. And can you possibly take us in your church? We said, yes, come on. And they came, and there was 85 patients, and they are still in our church now, a nursing home of old people that have, most of them have Alzheimer's, and they're pitiful, and they had nobody in the world to help them. They had no place to go, and so we gladly took them in, and it was quite a challenge, and it's still quite a challenge. They're still not able to get back into their nursing home in Beaumont, but I heard today as I talked there that they think they will get to return in the next few days to their nursing home. But we had church service with limited conditions last Sunday because of all of that going on. So we had a limited church service. I say limited. We had 45 or 50. We actually had to cancel church. Most of the churches in our city were canceled last Sunday because they thought the storm was actually going to come through our city. But it veered at the last and missed us. But anyway, we had a limited church service. But there were some of these old women up there. She got up there and she found our church book. She opened it up 30 minutes before we got ready, and she started singing all those church songs. And she can't even talk where you can understand her, but she was singing those church songs. And then we had a visiting man, this preacher there, because they were evacuated. And whenever he started to quoting how worthy that Christ was, she immediately goes to the fifth chapter of Revelations and quotes it before he ever gets there. You see, she doesn't have a good mind. She doesn't know where she is, and she doesn't know anything, but at one time she was a Sunday school teacher and stood up on the Word of God. She became an abused person and is not that old, but had through abuse, she had lost her mind. But the point was, she still had God's Word in her system. She still had it there. She could still quote it. And later on, she was out of control later on in the week. And I went to her and I said, now, Rose, and I began to tell her that how that God, a meek and a quiet spirit is something that God rates very high. Now, you just calm down. And whenever I began to talk to her about what God's Word said, she calmed down then and so forth, because she still had respect for God's Word. It needs to be burned in our mind and in our heart and in our soul, and that we keep it there. And I'm so thankful, you young people here, all you can learn about God's Word when you're young, it'll be there. You might not think that you'll ever need it, but you're going to need it from here on. The rest of your life, you're going to need it. You'll have a situation that'll happen and occur. You'll be able to recall God's Word. You can give comfort for it. You can give instruction for it. He said it's a light under our path and a lamp under our feet. My, what else could you need? This nation here is groping for the walls, blindly and just weaving along. And yet, so many of God's people enjoy, and even in these times that we live in, enjoy peace and quietness and gentleness and goodness and kindness and meekness. And that's because you have God's Word in your heart, buried in your heart. So we're very thankful that we take comfort in God's Word. He said, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. It's just not, you know, we have case after case in the Scriptures. It said, wrong judgment proceedeth. Whenever we see things happening, we really frame our judgment up on the things around us. If we're furnished wrong information, we might be going to Iraq to start looking for weapons of mass destruction. You might make decisions that might ultimately be the wrong decision, but you base that decision up on what was furnished you. And when when he said wrong judgment proceedeth whenever you have bad information coming in. And so if you have bad information coming in, you're going to make bad decisions. So we have to stick to God's word. They have taken God's word and they have reversed it and revised it and done everything in the world. And I'm not saying all those translations are bad, but stick to God's word in the King James Version. Always keep it for your go-to when you study that. It's the most beautiful language ever written. They'll come along and they'd never take one of Shakespeare's writings and start changing them up. But they take this, it's beautiful language, and begin to change it up so it would be understandable unto man. But I believe this is God's word. I believe he's preserved it for us in this King James Version of the Bible. And I believe that it is our rule and our guide. You know, one time I used to help my daddy, and he would be building something. And Daddy would always have a board there, a lot of boards. And on some of those boards, he'd write the word Pat, P-A-T. Well, I was a little fella, and I didn't understand that. Well, finally, when I got grown, I figured out, well, my daddy, that's his pattern. And so I was building out in my barn about 20 years ago, and I cut me one. This is my pattern. I wrote Pat on it just like Daddy. And so then I kept on working, and I kept sawing my boards, and after a while they didn't fit. And I got to looking, and way back up there, I had nailed up my pattern. It had Pat, and I had it nailed up, and I just kept laying a board down. And, well, every time you lay it down and cut it, it gets the thickness of that saw a different length. It just keeps lengthening out. So I found out Daddy never did nail up his pattern. He used it for a pattern. This is our pattern, and we can't get away from it. Every time we revise it and change it, it gets a little bit more out of kilter. So we keep the pattern and hold on to it. It's God's word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. It's settled in heaven. It's settled on earth. And it's settled forever. It's God's word. And if we would hold to it, then truth, we could be able to have judgment. But he says here, judgment's turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, and truth is fallen in the street. The next time you see one of those guys run out there with a microphone trying to convince you of something on one of those news channels, you can just think, truth, there's no truth in this. Truth has fallen in the street. It's not, they don't care, they've trampled it. They don't care what God's word says. They're looking for their own agendas and to move their own things forward. So it does not matter what God's word has to say to a great portion. So for those that it does matter, I know it matters to me and I know it matters to you, but it's important that we continue to strive and to teach and to preach that God's word, this word that we have here, is important. Don't ever let them change it. Don't ever let them take it from you, but it is so very, very important. So I trust there's been something said that would be a benefit to you tonight. I know that you know all these things that I've told you. I haven't told you anything new. You know all these things, but we still need to be encouraged and reminded that this is God's word. Can you imagine the God that made the heaven and earth? He spoke to us in past in various ways and so forth, but now he has spoken to us. His son has spoken to us, and we have his word, and we ought to preserve it and keep it and defend it, and I know that you will. Thank you tonight for your kind attention, and may the Lord bless you and be with you until I can get to see you again. I hope that'll be before too long. Thank you.